Hey, what's up, guys, and welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Brandon Ho. It's the show where we talk about everything real and raw, genuine stories, journeys of faith of outstanding individuals, and we are so thrilled today because why? We have a very special guest with us now. The meeting of this person and myself was, I believe, a divine one, and it was through one of our acquaintances, and you may recognize this acquaintance as well simply because she has been a guest on the show, and we're talking about Professor Dr. Elizabeth Lee, and she connected the both of us, and in her words, she said, you must meet this very impressive young man. And I said, wow, you know, I don't take Professor Elizabeth's recommendation lightly, you see. So I know whatever she said, sure, whole water one. So we're very, very pleased to invite our guest for today. But before that, you know, who can we forget? But we must remember that we've got to roll our very famous intro song. Let's do it. Alright, with that, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome, for the first time on the show, Mr. Brian John Yim.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, hello, hi, Brian. How are you doing, Brian? Are you keeping safe? Are you keeping well?
I am, thank you. And what about yourself?
So far, so good. So far, so good. Praise God, you know. Sick tuck ho, fun tuck ho. Everything is ho lah, huh? Can. So I'm doing very well. But first of all, let me just say, Dr. Elizabeth is right. I don't know how old you are, but obviously after talking to you, I knew. But you look very, very young. So I'm not going to introduce you. I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself. So before we start anything else, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself? Things like, where are you from and what do you do?
Hello, everybody. Again, I'm Brian. I'm a singer-songwriter as well as an entrepreneur. I actually came from a little town called Mentaka Pahang, but now I'm staying in Petaling Jaya, Malaysia.
Nice, nice. And Mentaka, is it famous for the durian?
Not really. Or is that Raup? It's Raup. It's actually Raup, yeah.
But it's Raup that's famous for the durian.
We are very close to Raup, yeah.
Ah, and I believe as we speak right now, it is also the durian season. So yes. Have you had yourself some durian?
Yes, I had. I have a couple of Musang Kings. Yes, that's my favorite, yeah.
Of course, the top-notch one, the Musang. The Musang King is the king of all the fruits, lah, huh?
Yes.
And okay, now Brian, first of all, I just want to say on behalf of everyone and Let's Get Real, we're very thrilled and it's an honor and privilege to have you on the show. So we really, I'm so glad that you accepted the invitation. Now, I myself actually read, or two parts, so actually, I watched your interview online and I was so touched and so inspired by your testimony. And then, obviously, we talked a little bit on Zoom as well. We had a conversation and you so graciously sent me your book and entitled, Do You Still Love Me? And I've finished the book in one sitting. I took about an hour, one time from start to finish, and I finished it very quickly because it was very interesting. And I love it because, well, it's full of stories and anecdotes, and they're also very, it makes for very easy reading. And one thing that I can say I'm so amazed about you is this, your childlike faith. When I say that, you'll know what I mean if you guys pick up this book, Do You Still Love Me, and read it, because the childlike faith that you have is something that I think is very precious. When I read it, I find it very precious. It's very heartwarming. The way you speak to our Lord, the way you speak to Jesus, is literally like you're talking to a friend. It's like he's your buddy at that. And so this is something I really want to ask you about, you know, and you've had this journey with God for, I think, what, 30 over years now. And I can still see the joy of the Lord in your face, in your speech, in your conduct. And for someone to maintain this faith for this amount of years is extraordinary. So we want to rewind back, all right? Now, you know, now you are an entrepreneur, you're a singer-songwriter, but we want to rewind back all the way back to when you first, when you were a little boy. And, you know, we want to ask you a little bit about your family background. How was it like, you know, growing up for Brian John Yim? Because obviously, you know, you're not the man you are today without all of these experiences. So that's why we want to just go back a little bit. So, you know, what was your childhood like? You know, what was it like growing up for you?
Like I mentioned earlier, I actually grew up in Mentaka Pahang. It's a very small township. My childhood was quite memorable because I had been performing, since the age of 3 years old. Performing, when I say perform, I play the piano. I play the piano in theaters, in cinema halls, in schools. I actually use the word piano because then most people will understand, but the actual instruments I was using is what we call keyboards and electronic organs. So childhood to me is full of music. I was entertaining my neighbors, I was entertaining my mom's friends and the general public.
Wow. That's very, very interesting to know. Now, you mentioned music. You mentioned a very memorable childhood full of music. And it sounds very normal, actually. It sounds very happy. It sounds very, it's almost like any childhood any child would have. Now, obviously, I know this is not the case because I've read your book from front page to end cover. And I know you say, you know, you're very smiley now. You're very happy. You're very jovial now. And you say you got a very memorable childhood. But as far as I know, when I read your book, it's not always rainbows and butterflies.
No.
In fact, I would say that you had quite there's no other word for it. You had a very difficult childhood, actually. At the same time, I love it that you look at the positive and you say very memorable. But at the same time, you know, when I read your book, I said, wow, you know, I don't know how this young man went through it or young boy went through it. So tell us a little bit, because your mom is someone who's very dear to your heart, I know.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about the part, especially when you were growing up and, you know, things weren't as happy as people will make out, you know, by just seeing you like this.
Brandon, actually, it's something very personal to me, which I seldom share to the public. But, my parents got divorced when I was just 3 years old. Before that, they were perfect couples, loving couples. You know, my dad loved my mom very much. But because he became a drug addict not long after the marriage, and things became worse. He sold everything in the house, everything that is valuable, and it's because of that, you know, mom and dad quarrel every day, they fought every day, and before I turned 3 years old, they got legally divorced. So to me, childhood apart from music, yes, of course, that kept me occupied. But there was always this void in my heart because I did not have a fatherly figure to look forward to. That's one part. Yep.
Now, I cannot begin to imagine. It must be quite traumatic, actually, because when you explain the relationship of your father and your mother, you actually explain quite a lot in detail, quite vivid, you know, what your mom experienced. And it must be quite traumatic for a very young boy to see what you saw.
Yeah.
What happened between your mom and your dad?
You know, dad was actually an architect. We were quite well-to-do before my dad became a drug addict. He bought my mom sports cars.
Wow.
Diamonds, jewelries. We were living in a corner house, corner bungalow lot in Taman Tun Dr. Ismail at that time. And when my dad became a drug addict, he had to sell. He stopped working, and he had to sell things to get the money to buy drugs. And so when my mom refused to let him sell this and that, they would often ended up in fights. And at one time, I remember my dad wanted to sell the sports car, the Alfa Romeo sports car. My mom refused to sign the sale deed because the car was bought in her name. And so my dad went into the kitchen and got a chopper, you know, a chopping knife, threatened to kill mom with a knife. So I was there, I was in the house, I was terrified, you know. I was only like 2 years plus, before 3 years old. I remember I had to hide underneath the table. I was so afraid, I did not know what to do.
And that was you mentioned that was the last time that you ever saw your dad, right?
After my dad, after they got divorced, we moved to Mentaka Pahang to stay with my grandma. And I've never seen him again, never.
And obviously, when you say your grandma, she is the one you fondly call Ama.
Ama, that's right.
Ama, right.
And Hokkien. She's a Hokkien, so I call her Ama,
Ama. Right, so Ama is someone that I know. I feel I'm very, I know her a lot as well, because you mention her a lot in your book, and you talk about her a lot. And she also, you know, we later come to know that also she come to know Christ. Now, up until this point, your family, you all of you weren't Christians. So what were you guys then? Were you atheists? Were you Buddhists, Taoists? What was it for your family?
Taoists. Mm. They were praying to idols. In fact, as far as I know, all of their brothers and sisters, their parents have always been Taoists. You know, praying to out. There's some sort of idols in the house, which they pray to. Yeah.
So that means you have the you know the altar table.
Yes. The altar table, and yeah. They will buy oranges. You know, at specific time, to offer to these idols. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Mentaka Pahang is pretty much actually where you grew up in. That's where you spend your boyhood years, and it was. I would imagine your teenage years as well, and that's pretty much where you went to school, where you met your friends, and where you grew up in.
That's
so tell
correct.
Us a little bit about Mentaka Pahang. What was it like growing up for you? Because I imagine from TTDI, TTDI, as we all know, is quite an upscale place. It's a very nice modern place. From there to Mentaka, let's just say it's a difference. All right, it's quite a big difference there.
Very big difference.
You know, yeah, and it's a very small town. So what was that like for
you? Yeah, like you said, not only TTDI was, it's an affluent community.
Right.
But I was staying in a like huge bungalow, you know, in a corner bungalow. And after we moved to Mentaka, we had to squeeze ourselves in my grandma's wooden house. It was so small, wooden house. Mm. I forgot how small it is, but I remember I have to share a room with my grandma, my mom, and my brother. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So four people in one room.
Four people in my room. That's right.
Oh, I cannot imagine that. My goodness. You know, four people in one
small
room.
And it's a wooden house, not a brick house.
It's not even a brick and mortar house, right? You say it's a wooden house as well.
No. But I'm thankful that we have a covering, we have a shelter. Yeah. Wonderful. At that time. Yeah.
So, okay, so now we know that you're in Mentaka. We know that, you know, now you're staying away from your from the city of bright lights and everything like that. And the affluent life is far behind you. Now, what was it like for your mom? Because difficult for you as a child, but we know as well, mom also probably had a very difficult time herself. So what was it like for your mom dealing with that?
I think,
and also having two kids to take care of.
Yeah, I think it's even tougher for her because... being a single mom, a single parent, she had to work several jobs to put food on the table. And it was not easy because, you know, from where she was, when my dad loved her so much and pampered her with the diamond and the jewelries and the sports car, and where she had to now, she lost everything. And now she had to humble herself, and in fact, she had to walk to work. She used to drive a sports car to everywhere, but now she had to walk, carrying an umbrella under the hot sun, and whenever there was rain, she would be soaked.
Wow, you know, is your mom still around today?
Oh yes, she's around.
She is?
Yeah, she is.
I hope one day I can meet your mom.
Definitely.
Maybe have her to be on the show as well to hear her side of the story, because I think she would have an exciting, exciting part of her story that, you know, she would be able to share. Now, up until now, you know, we haven't really heard yet, but when did you first hear the name Jesus Christ? Now, you guys were Taoists, you know, so was your mom, and I imagine she was quite a devout Taoist as well, and your whole family grew up in this tradition, right? So when did you first hear about the name Jesus Christ?
In Sunday school, Brandon, because we were so poor after we moved to Mentaka, and my mom could not afford to send me to any tuition. So instead, she sent me to Sunday school, to in a church, local the gospel center in Mentakap. And actually in Temelo is not very far from Mentakap.
Mm-hmm.
So she sent me to Sunday school to learn English. That was
in
her,
hopes to learn English.
That was
in
her,
hopes just to
yeah,
learn
that
the
was,
language.
That was her original intention to learn English. So I learned about Jesus in Sunday school, Brandon. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And as a young boy, because I mean, I attended Sunday school as well. I'm sure many of our listeners today, you know, who are second generation Christians or you know, grew up in a church environment, we listen to Sunday school stories, biblical Bible stories, and everything like that. Now, as a young boy, what kind of impression did Jesus have on you?
You know, Brandon, when I was in Sunday school, I've learned that there is this God who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And of course, you know, after we moved to Mentakap, I've never seen my dad again. And I often wondered why he never came back to look for me and why he did not love me anymore. So there was always this void in my heart. And I always longed for a fatherly figure. So when I learned that there is a heavenly father in Sunday school, I've learned that there is a Heavenly Father who loves me and cares for me. And the only way to have a relationship with this Heavenly Father is to accept Jesus Christ, His Son. So that is my impression about Jesus, that Jesus is God's only Son. And I accepted Him because I want to have a relationship with God the Father. Yeah.
And how old were you when you received this? How
10
old
years
you?
Old. 10 years old.
So at 10 years old, you understood all of this?
Yes.
That's amazing. Because, you know, a lot of people, it's quite hard to grasp, you know, the concept of father and son, you know. And a lot of people, you know, young kids still get a little bit, you know, not so sure. But at 10 years old, you managed to grasp this and you wanted it.
I wanted
you said,
it.
You know. Yeah, you wanted it.
Yes, I wanted it, Brandon, because, you know, maybe, like I said, I did not have a father to look up to. I did not have anyone to talk to, actually, because mom was so busy working outside she was the breadwinner of the family. Yeah. So I was always alone. I was very lonely. And when in Sunday school, I was happy. All my Sunday school teachers loved me. But more importantly is that I seem to have this, when I learned about God and Jesus, I seem to have this connection. Although I could not see Him with my physical eyes, you know, but somehow I knew He's real. And He loved me.
Now, the absence of a fatherly figure, you mentioned that you were quite lonely growing up. Did it affect your relationship with just by making friends or you know, just having a good group of friends? You know, this is one of the things that we recommend to youth, you know, having good company, having a good group of solid core friends, you know. Did this sort of affect you in terms of, like, you mentioned that you were lonely? And Mentakap, I don't think it's a big town, you know. Kind of it's a situation where everybody knows everybody kind of thing.
Right.
So did it, and you said yet you were lonely. So how did this affect your relationship with just making friends and things like that?
Brandon, to be honest with you, I'm not a very talkative person, not like now. But I used to, maybe because I had inferiority complex, I felt I did not talk to any. In school, I was very alone because I didn't, maybe because I did not reach out to others. And more importantly, it's because I think I did not want others to know I did not have a father. That was probably why. I kept to myself and I didn't mix around. So I was very much alone. I was very much alone. So in school, I remember that I would often, during the recess time, I would be alone. I would go out to the padang, you know, to the field. And I would talk to God. I'll pray to Him. And and I knew He was listening to me. Yeah.
So you literally just go off. That means during recess and you actually just go off on your own and then you just alone, just by yourself talking to God.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Wouldn't other kids think, this boy is very, very strange.
Yes, there is this weirdo.
Yes, that's
correct. That's correct. You know, of course, I try to, they would think, you know, that maybe something is wrong with me. That's what I did. That's what I did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's how you sort of, I guess, in many ways, maintain your relationship with God. One of the ways.
Yes.
But just constantly conversing with Him.
Yes.
Now, I love that you mentioned as well, very early on in the conversation, you said that, you know, you had a very musical childhood. Now, I don't know about many musical people. Okay, I wouldn't consider myself a super musical or musically gifted or talented. But we all know an electric organ or even a piano is not a cheap thing. All right, if you want to buy a decent piano or a decent electric organ or keyboard, it's not cheap. They range in the thousands to the tens of thousands. But yet, you know, you had a very difficult childhood in the sense that you didn't have a lot of material things. Yet you said early on in the conversation, you had a very musical childhood. How?
Brendan, before my parents got separated, my dad actually bought my mom an electronic organ for her to learn music. Mm. It was for her. Maybe because she was too busy, she never did get to learning it. So the electronic organ became a white elephant in the house.
So nobody used it.
It was just there. I'm talking about we were still in Taman Tuna, TTTI. So one day, I, out of curiosity, I opened the organ cover and I started to play music. I started to play songs. And it was not like a random chaotic notes here and there. Maybe you would have mentioned that, but...
You're talking about me. The random chaotic... You're just talking about me there.
but I was actually playing songs which I've heard over the television and the radio. I seem to know exactly what notes to play and the corresponding chord progressions. Yeah, I seem to know. Mom, of course, was in the kitchen at that time. Mm-hmm. She rushed out. She thought the stranger must have entered the house, you know. So when she saw her, she could not believe her eyes when she saw me, you know, barely 3 years old, toddler, maybe, you know, she would call it, was playing songs on her electronic organ.
You had no theory?
No, nobody taught me. No teachers taught me before. It just came like that. So when you mentioned how we could afford this, you see, that sold everything. And as I mentioned, that sold everything. Yep. The organ was the only thing he did not sell. And I know in my heart he still loved me. And that was why he did not sell that. So that was the only so-called asset that we have. And we moved that organ to Mandaka Pahang. Yeah, that was the only inheritance I have from my father. Yeah.
Let me just pause you there and let you realize as well how gracious our God is.
Yes.
Out of all the 1,001 assets that you guys have had, the diamond necklace, the sports car, you know, all the ding ding dang dang, the only thing that got left behind was... Yes. Exactly what you needed, you know, what the Lord gave you that gift to express and to serve Him and to also use that gift to bless others.
Yeah.
And it happened to be the electric organ. That's the only thing not sold. It followed your family to Mandaka Pahang.
Yeah. And all my neighbors were wondering, how come this poor family could afford such an expensive instrument in that humble abode? So, you know, so that was really, like you said, the Lord is great. Yeah.
So, Brian, you mentioned that at 15 years old, you found out that your dad passed away. Now, you didn't really talk much about this, you know. So, I hope you don't mind me asking this, but I want to know, actually, how did you find out about this? Did you go out of your way at 15 years old to say, I want to find out a little bit more about my dad, I want to research a little bit more? Or did the news come to you, you know? How did you even find out about this news?
Brendan, actually, my mom did not want us to mention about about that, and I can totally understand because you know she don't want to mention the past anymore. So after we moved to Mentukap, we were not allowed to talk about that. So it was not me who found out that my dad passed away. It was actually my brother. We grew up later, and when my brother went to search for my dad, only then he found out that he passed away at what year. And when I did the calculation, I was 15 years old at that time. Yeah.
How did you take the news, if you don't mind me asking? Because, you know, how did you take this news when your brother came back and said, hey, Ko, this is what I found out? So, you know, how did you take the news?
Brandon, you know, I'm so glad that I knew Jesus when I was 10 years old, and I have developed a close relationship with God the Father, and so much so that I did not you know, have, when my brother told me that passed away, of course I was sad, but I was not devastated, because I know that the Father, the Heavenly Father that I have right now, is way more fantastic. And also because I only knew my father up until 3 years old, I never really like know him, like know him. So there was no so much connection between. Yeah, that's right. So
Yeah. Now I want to go back to this music part about your life a little bit, because music is a massive part of your life. For you yourself, you know, besides just being an entrepreneur, you also identify as a singer and a songwriter. And this is an amazing gift. I cannot imagine. You are the first person I've heard in my life who play by ear at about 2.5, 3 years old. And, you know, such that your mom would rush out of the kitchen to think that a stranger just, you know, entered your house from somewhere, some window. So, you know, having this gift of music, I think it's a very, very special talent. It's a very special gift. And you discovered this gift by... people call it accident. We know by, you know, it's divine, you know, that somehow there was this electric organ there. And using this gift of music, using this gift of being able to play the organ, the electric organ and the keyboard, how did you use this gift to sort of glorify Jesus? Is there a single avenue, or did you just, you know, just keep playing?
You know, but just to before that, before I accepted the Lord at the age of 10 years old, before my mom sent me to Sunday school, before I start using the gift for God, I was actually performing in many places, you know. I received invitations to perform, because I think also because there was a local, the local media at that time had featured me in an article and labeled me a music prodigy. So there was, I became like a little celebrity of some sort, like in Mentukap Pahang. So, but when I started attended Sunday school at the age of 10, I played the keyboard for the church, actually, and the piano, keyboard and the piano. And although I was just a little child, I actually played for the adult services. Yeah, the adult services. So. And I'm very thankful, and up to this day, you know, God continues to use the gift of music He has given me. Today, I'm a worship leader, not just for my church, but also I have received invitations from many churches throughout Malaysia to sing and to share my testimony. So,
Now, just so that people understand, right, the word prodigy gets attached to someone. It's not an easy label, okay? It comes with, it's a lot of responsibility, and there's a lot of expectations on when you get labeled a prodigy. So now, just for people to understand a little bit, all right, the scale of this prodigy-ness, I don't know what you call it. You took formal courses, right? In Yamaha, if I'm not mistaken. And then tell us, because I read this in your book, so I just want people to understand a little bit about your skills. You know, it's not just like, oh, I play by ear and then that's it, kao tim. You finished your course, what was supposed to be, how many, what, the grade 5 thingy, you know, you were saying, was supposed to be how many years, how long did you take?
No, I just want to get this right, you know, when I played at the age of 3, nobody taught me, no teachers taught me, so it has to be from God, it has to be from God, so I totally give credit and glory to God. But later, it was later when my mom could afford to send me to formal music lessons, she enrolled me to the Yamaha, the, you know, the ABRSM, the piano, piano lessons. So if for those who are familiar with ABRSM, there are actually 8 grades, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. And usually students would take 8 years to complete, you know, because every year one grade, right? Mm. But when she enrolled me and the teacher recognized my gift, she actually enrolled me grade 5 the first year and grade 8. So in 2 years, I finished all grade 8s, you know. And
In 2 years? In you're two telling years, me in 2 years yeah, you finished the whole thing?
Whole thing, yeah.
My gosh, I mean, this is...
praise a lot, yeah, praise
wow.
a lot.
Wow.
And also, there is another course, the Yamaha Electon, grade 5. You know, they start to count from 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. So the lesser the number, the smaller the number, the higher grade it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So I finished, grade 5 is supposed to be the teacher's grade at that time. Mm. And I finished that also. In fact, my teacher could not believe it because I was, his students, most of his students had to repeat the exam several times, but I passed the exam in one sitting. Yeah.
Wow.
So he was amazed.
I wish that, you know, I wish that if we had more time, right, I would get you to play the piano for us. Because I'm so interested to find out. I mean, I'm sure I can search for it online or things like that, you know, but to hear it live, I think would be a different story.
Yes.
But maybe one day, you know, if you're willing, you know, I would love to see you play the piano live because I want to see it for myself here. Now, all right, Brian, now I read your book in one sitting here and there's something I really want to highlight a little bit, especially two stories. There are 101 stories in there, but these two I find very particularly interesting because the reason why I found it interesting is because I feel a lot of people can identify with it. And one of the people that identifies with this story is yours truly. I identify with the story. And there is a title in the book dedicated to it and it's called The Night Visitors. I don't want to spoil the story too much, right? People can think for themselves what night visitors mean, but I'll share my experience because I experienced something very similar. And it was much, you know, at that point of time, I didn't know that it was a spiritual attack. At that point, I thought it was just having nightmare. You know, as a young kid, you know, you don't really think too much about the spiritual aspect of it. So I thought I was having nightmares and it happened so frequently to me as well. And it all culminated to when I was 18 years old. And at 18 years old, that's when I actually decided I had a very personal touch from the Lord. And 18 years old, that's when I dedicated my life to God and I told God very clearly, audibly, and I spoke it out, you know, and I said, Lord, whatever I'm doing in the future, I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to do it for your glory and for your name. And that's what I'm going to do. And that night was the culmination of this spiritual attack because I felt it, you know, and it started for me. It started from my feet and it slowly worked the way all the way up to my body and it came on my chest. It rested on my chest. And then finally, I felt something choking me and I couldn't breathe. And that was very terrifying for me, actually. And it was the same night where I declared it. When I declared that I was going to do this. And for a while, I was gripped with terror. I didn't know what to do. You see, you're so scared and terrified. And then after a while, and you cannot shout, you know, by the way, you're just frozen in terror. You cannot shout, you know, you cannot move your body at all. You cannot move a single muscle. And of course, in the spirit, after a while, then I said, Lord Jesus, I just scream out the name of Jesus. And then slowly it released. And the night visitors, I mean, it makes so much sense to me. When I read it, I so could identify. Now, your story is a little bit different, all right? Because you seeked help. And one would imagine Brian John Yim going to the pastor, you know, getting your hands laid on for the thing leave, you know. Whoa, I tell you, tremendous power of God falling down. You ended up going to a very different place. So maybe in your own words, you could share about this experience about night visitors and where you ended up, you know, towards the end.
Right, okay. This is a very long story. I shall try to keep it as short as I can without leaving out the interesting details. It was not my call, Brandon, when you say going to this other place, it was not my call, the decision.
Yep, yep,
it was
yep.
my mom, because I was still young, you know. And it all happened after we moved from the wooden house, when my mom had saved up, she worked very hard, and she has saved enough money to pay the down payment for a new house. And it was a double-story link house. This time, it's a brick house. And I was
praise
very happy.
A lot. A brick already.
And I was very happy because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, in the wooden house, I had to share the room with my grandma, my mom, my brother. But in this new house, I had a room to my own, all to myself.
Wow.
So, but not long after I moved to the new house, I began to encounter what you call night visitors. But we all know what they are. And every night after I doze off, I would be suddenly awakened by some unseen forces trying to push me down to my bed. Mm. And like you, you know, I would be totally paralyzed. I felt it was a terrifying experience. And no matter how I tried to free myself, I could not get up from the bed. And and then, similar to your experience, the moment I'd shouted the name of Jesus, they left me immediately, you know. So I told my mom and my grandma about this, but, you know, like they thought, they thought I was having some nightmares, you know. But there was one night again, these night visitors came, and again I was awakened by them. And and mind you, Brandon, my eyes were wide open. I could see the room clearly. I could see my room clearly, but I just couldn't see what was this thing that was holding me down. And this time, when I tried to call the name of Jesus, I realized I could not speak. It was as though something was shutting my mouth. I could not speak. So I used my mind power to shout, Lord, Lord Jesus, help me. You know, I used my power. And again, the forces left me. And from this experience, Brandon, I think I learned that God can actually hear our thoughts very clear, very loud. So we have to be very careful what we play in our thoughts. So when I told my mom and grandma again, and seeing my terrified face, they were convinced that there were dirty things in the house. Things in the house. They did not want to mention the word ghost, but they know there were something, you know. So my mom's friend actually recommended her to this temple monk, who was, they, you know, in her words, a powerful medium and exorcist at that time. So, like I said, it was not my call, Brandon, to go to this temple because I was very young. So she in a way she forced me to go to the temple monk, and obediently I followed. And to cut a long story short, we met the monk in the temple, and he said to me, young man, of course he said this in Chinese lah. He said he knew exactly what was haunting me every night, and he knew how to help me to get rid of these spirits. So he brought me out to outside the temple courtyard, and made me sit in the middle, surrounded by rocks. Okay, just to tell you a little bit description about of this monk, so you would know, he was wearing a long yellow robe, wearing a yellow hat, and on his right hand was this long wooden sword, and before me was the high table covered with Chinese praying papers. On top of it were pots of burning incense. It's very much similar to what you would see in a Chinese kung fu movie, you know. It's
exactly the thinking. Same. This is so typical same. Chinese kung fu movie,
right? Very typical Chinese kung fu movie. So the only thing he required me to do, Brandon, was he wanted me to close my eyes. And I must not open my eyes until he told me to do so, because he told me he intended to fly my spirit out from my body to the heavens to meet the Chinese deities. And he named some of the deities, you know. He said that these so-called gods would be able to help me. So I did what he requested me to do. I closed my eyes. I was very much afraid, Brandon, you know. I did not know what to expect. And the idea of my spirit flying out of my body is just never. I was, you know, it's very scary, you know.
Of
it was
course.
Very scary. And And you know, with my eyes closed, you know, what I did, Brandon, was I used again my mind power to call out the name of Jesus. I actually called Lord Jesus, you know, and in my with my mind, I did not open my mouth to speak. Maybe because I was sitting in the right in the same position for too long, my body began to feel numb and cold, and suddenly, you know, I felt a hand, a warm hand, touch my back, and I could feel the heat travel down my spine, and I felt comforted. I was not afraid anymore, and the monk was still chanting, and I could hear he was still swinging his sword even more vigorously, you know, as though he was battling with some unseen forces. Then he stopped, and then he asked me to open my eyes. Up to that point, Brandon, I did not see any deities, you know, I did not see any Chinese deities, but I followed him back to the temple. Mm-hmm. And the first question he asked my mom was this. He said, is your son a Christian?
Wow.
And my mom looked at me puzzled, you know, why would the monk ask such a strange question? You know, and why would he ask that? And he said, if I know that your son is a Christian, I would not have agreed to help him. Because every time I try to go into the circle to pull your son's spirit out, there's this man wearing white robe kicking me out from the circle. You know?
And, wow, that is...
Yeah, and you know, being a kid, my mouth was like... wide open. My mom was like, you know, and to cut the long story short, Brandon, we went back to the house, and from that night onwards, no more night visitors, no more night visitors. And I think the Lord allowed me to go through this experience, not only for my sake, but also for my mom's sake, because she know that Jesus is real. Yeah. And not only that, you know, Brandon, she knows that Jesus is mightier and more Amen. Powerful than all the deities that this monk mentioned.
Amen.
Yeah. So
I love it. It's so funny as well. It's so funny. You know, it's a very scary experience, but seeing very how you've experienced it, the way you say it is so funny, actually. It's so hilarious. You know, there's a man in white keep kicking me. I can almost imagine the scene where Jesus is just standing like, what do you want? Huh? What do you want with my child? Well, I thought it's an amazing story. All right. Now, Brian, we're slowly running out of time here, but this is something that I feel is very important because... our experience with the Holy Spirit is something that is actually very intimate. It's something that is very personal, you know. The Holy Spirit, the Lord says, the Holy Spirit, you know, I will give you the Holy Spirit and He's going to live with you, and live inside of you. And it's something that I feel is very personal as well. And you also, you know, you're actually a very sensitive person, you know, and you're someone that really values relationship a lot. And I'm sure you wanted this as well because you saw a lot of people that also had this relationship with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, You and I come from you come from a traditional church background, say a more conservative church background, and similarly so did I. And you wanted this experience of being slain by the Holy Spirit. I use this word slain because you know when you get slain by the Holy Spirit, more often than not, what you would envision is people getting people falling down, people laughing, people crying, some people even running around, and just, you know, some people are screaming and crying, and somehow you wanted that as well, you know. And tell us, I mean, we were fast forwarding here, you know, and this is you in US now. The setting is completely different now. You're a grown man, you're a young adult, you're studying in the US right now. And now the concept of Holy Spirit is something that's so profound to you. So tell us a little bit of your experience about being slain by the Holy Spirit. Very different, quite different for you.
You know, Brandon, you have read my book. You know, have you figured out why I put the title, Do You Still Love Me?
No.
Not really. Okay. You know, Brandon, because when I was in America, I was so hungry spiritually, very hungry. Especially after I learned that there is such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was seeking the experience. I was seeking the experience of being slain in the Holy Spirit. I was seeking to be able to speak in tongues. So I was very desperate, actually. I prayed night and day. I would go to the, whenever there is an altar call, I would go. I will be the first to go out to be prayed for, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when I did not experience the touch that I was looking for, I became hurt. I became despair. I wondered, was it because God doesn't love me anymore? And that is why I entitled my book, Do You Still Love Me?
Because you thought God didn't love you anymore because he didn't give you that experience.
Yeah. But you know, Brandon, I'm so thankful, you know, that I did not give up. Or I should rather, I should say God did not give me up because I realized at that time I was seeking the experience. I was seeking the gift rather than the giver. And God was trying to teach me something very important. And I'm glad he did, you know, that faith is more important than feelings. Because when I accepted the Lord at the age of 10 years old, I did not see him with my physical eyes. I did not feel his tangible presence. I did not know there's such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But yet I was talking to him, you know, in Padang, in my room. I was praying to him. I was reading my Bible. And I was having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, even though I did not know the Holy Spirit at that time. So that is faith, you know, Brandon. That is faith. And God wanted to keep it that way for me because and it's very sad, Brandon, because I know a lot of people, especially the young people nowadays or during my time, many were seeking a touch from heaven. Many were seeking to speak in tongues or to be slain in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that it's bad, because Paul in the Bible did say, desire goods, you know, these gifts and spiritual gifts. But if that is the only thing that they seek, that will be dangerous, because if people are only seeking signs and wonders and all this, you know, signs and wonders can also be counterfeit, Brandon. So so the Lord has taught me a very valuable lesson. Faith is more important than feelings. Feelings will come after. And so I'm thankful that, you know, after I learned that, you know, the Lord did graciously give me the gifts that, which I desire. But that's after I've learned that faith comes first.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing, Brian. Absolutely amazing. I'm so inspired, and I'm so encouraged by your story, honestly. And we've almost speaking for almost an hour. It didn't feel like an hour at all, honestly, because it was so interesting. And you know, there's still 1,001 stories I'm sure you can share. It probably take like a 3-day, 2-night camp to share your entire life story. But you know, you shared a little bit about your entire life up until then when you were a young boy until now. So, you know, as we close, you know, to our audience who are listening right now, right? And what would you like the audience to know about our Savior, about God?
For those who are watching this program, I just want you to know that the God that whom I worship is a loving God. He's a he's full of mercy, full of compassion. He's not a God who is like ready to punish you whenever you make mistake, you know? No, you know. In fact, the God I know, he does not want or does not wish his children to suffer. And that's the reason why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He rather, he suffer than we, you know, endure the punishment. So that is the kind of God, you know, Brandon and I, we worship.
Amen. Beautifully put, beautifully put. Now, and of course, that's what you want the audience to know. Yourself, Brian, you know, looking back right now, you know, you're an age where there's so much to reflect on. You've journeyed with God for more than 30 years of your life, and your upbringing and where you are today. Looking back, what can you say about God?
The longer I live, Brendan, the more I realize how much I need Jesus, how much I need God. You know that I'm in the retail business, and retail business is one of the industry that got hit very badly during this pandemic. And just the other day, you know, just only a few days ago, I was praying and I was interceding, and I did not know what to do. And then I could hear the Lord speaking through me. I could hear myself verbally, but it was the Lord speaking through me. And he says this, he said, "Brian, if I can bring you this far from where you were and who you were, don't you think I'm more than capable and more than able to continue to lead you and guide you? I have plans that prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. Therefore, do not worry, you know, all is well." And the Lord said, when the Lord said that, and I ended it with a loud amen. You know, it's just amazing. You know, the Lord that we serve is fantastic, Brendan. And therefore, we should not be short-sighted, and by what we see right now, you know, during the pandemic, we should continue to put our trust in God, because, you know, we have an eternity to look forward to, Brendan. We have an eternity. So let us not be too short-sighted, you know, of trouble by what is going on around, you know, in the country or all over the world. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Brian. I cannot, you know, even tell you how encouraged I am listening to your story. I identify with you a lot on so many levels, and I praise God that you are still serving so faithfully. And I'm pretty sure I'm so proud to call you a fellow soldier in Christ, because you are a shining warrior for our Lord Jesus. So amen, amen, amen to whatever you said. Now, as we end, before I close this, is it okay if I just prayed for you, Brian?
Sure. Because
You know, I would love to commit you to God. So in the audience, if you're listening with me, you know, you can also stretch out your arms and just pray for Brian as well as we commit him to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for Brian, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Brian is such a faithful servant of you, Lord, listening to his stories, Lord. Truly, Lord Jesus, our spirits are stirred, Lord Jesus. Our spirits, Lord, we feel the encouragement, Lord, from deep within, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that Brian is so willing and so open, Lord, to share even the most personal stories, Lord Jesus, even stories, Lord, that once upon a time he was ashamed of, Lord, and now he shares it, Lord, on a mountaintop. He shouts it out loud, Lord, because why? He knows, Lord, that it gives you the glory, Lord Jesus, because the glory goes back to your name, Lord. And through these stories, you are glorified, Lord. And so we thank you for Brian's life, Lord. We thank you for this this man, Lord Jesus, that you have chosen, Lord Jesus, to speak for you, Lord, to be your mouthpiece, Lord. And even right now, Lord, we pray a prayer of blessing, Lord, that you continue to anoint Brian, Lord. Anoint him, Lord, with more opportunities, Lord, that you increase his territory and his influence, Lord. That, Lord, even after this, Lord, many, Lord Jesus, will be able to come to him, Lord, and he can minister to them, Lord Jesus. The anointing of Paul be upon him, Lord Jesus, that he will be a great teacher, Lord. One that is patient, Lord. One that is loving and compassionate, Lord. One, Lord Jesus, that is also willing, Lord Jesus, to chastise those, Lord, whom he loves and whom you love, Lord. So we thank you for Brian's heart, Lord. We just want to pray, Lord, that you bless him and you protect him and his family, Lord. We pray for his mother as well, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful lady, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she has come to know you and your saving grace, Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that even through her, Lord, many, Lord, will come to know of you and your love, Lord. So we thank you for Brian. We pray a prayer blessing upon him. You bless this man, Lord, and everything that he touches his hand, you will also bless, Lord. We pray and thank you. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' most precious name, and we'll all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brendan, for inviting me to be your guest. It's an honor. Yeah. All glory
You're welcome.
To God. Yeah.
You're very welcome. All glory to Jesus. Brian, thank you so much for joining us once again. And to all our audience who are listening right now, don't forget, if you want to join in on the fun, we got a Discord community that you guys can join. Join this Discord server. The link is in the description. That's where we talk about anything and everything under the sun. Also, be sure to follow us on our social media platforms like Instagram, YouTube, and Spotify. You can stream us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and stream us on Spotify. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel as well for more great stories and more great testimonies. So thank you so much, Brian, once again. God bless you, and God bless all our audience who are listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.